The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Hello. Come in. Watch your step there. Oh, now we're all inside. And in here, there's horror, terror, mayhem. And it smells awful. That's because this is Inner Sanctum.
I'm scared, Pete. This house feels haunted. And the stench, Pete, you.
Wow. Come on, Jim. You know, a smell never killed anyone. Just hold your nose.
It's not helping. I tell you, it's getting me, Pete. Pete, it's ripping in my nostril hairs. Pete, help!
Jim, where are you?
And he thought a smell couldn't be deadly. Stay tuned for part two of our odorous mystery when we return to Inner Stinkdom.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks.
The Hallelujah, 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 Trail.
La 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 la.
I am the bard of broadcasting. I am the difficult historian, the godfather of the internet radio. The rest of yous can take a hike. So wake up, it's night. What is left of radio? You will hear. Right here. I'm Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm here, you're there, and that's where we're supposed to be. So let's go along the Hallelujah Trail and replenish our precious bodily fluids. Stay well. This is it. We're here again. Cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Once again, as years go by, here we are. And this is Y2K Plus 19. It's me, Knarf Olatok. If you're listening to this backwards, Yeah, I'm not kidding. This is exactly what is left of broadcasting, of free form, non-agenda radio, talk radio. Right? We started it. It's here, and now they've all taken over. And I just want to say hello to Adam Carolla, and he could walk off a cliff. So how's that? And, you know, I do, you know, these little things that go on have nothing to do with anybody or anything. But it's, you know, everybody's just trying to make enough to buy a loaf of bread, sit down and eat it, hopefully with peanut butter or something else. But my name is Frank Cotullo. A man's name joins the title of the show that has been here for, what, going on 21 years, because we're in that year. And as time goes on, we're here for as long as we can be here. And we've had a couple of, you know, we've been treated to a couple of wonderful cloud shows and other things that have happened thanks to the polar vortex. Yeah, you know, nothing edited, just you, just me, just right here. There's a number of things going to be coming up if, I guess Mother Nature cooperates, as always. And, what we'll be doing here, so I'll just remind you, if I didn't remind you on other shows, as you heard me, you might have heard my voice here and there on various, stations doing stuff and going, I don't know, he doesn't sound like he's there, but I am here. And I was there. We've had some just outrageous weather, and I hate to, I don't want this to be a weather show. You could watch the Weather Channel and see all those people doing that stuff over and over again. Has anybody noticed how many commercials there are on the Weather Channel? That is the most, that place is just strewn, and I shouldn't say it that way. I guess the commercials are strewn through hour upon hour upon hour. And those wonderful people who stand there and stand all over the world and tell you what's going on. But then they have all these commercials. I mean, and they're short. So they stand, I don't know how they work there. Any of you people who are in radio, maybe you know this stuff. How do they work that out with the money? I don't know. So many things have changed. Not just since this show began and there were other people who were not here. Now taking claim for this wonderful thing. You know, am I ever going to stop being bitter about that? That's what you're asking me. He's going, Frank, enough already. Well, you just never know when this thing is going to, this thing's going to blow. So stay with this. This is Cotullo Chronicles, and there's plenty of stuff to talk about. Now, there are also guests who a lot of you who've listened to the show through the years have asked to hear again, and they'll be back, as we hope. Because we don't do a lot of planning here. Remember, we never rehearse, but we're always prepared. And here at Cotullo Chronicles, we are always prepared. And we just fly off the cuff. But once in a while, we have some good guests. And there have been, over the years, many, and we're going to get some back, too, including Dr. Waldor. We're going to get him back. Gary Popoli is MIA. I don't know. We're going to find him eventually, talk about some psychological stuff. Because, you know, it's that this show, and it's not a program, because we don't write down what we're going to do. We don't prepare. We don't, you know, it's not, and there's no commercials unless we have commercials that we want, and we toss them in there. But we set up a number of standards through the decades, I could say now, right? That we have tried to deliver to the public, our public, and then maybe through word of mouth would go to this guy, that guy, this gal, that girl, and their pets. But we've tried to do this, and I got to say that through the 20 years that we have failed, because pop culture and the bad sides, the bad influences of pop culture and all the horrible things that we tried to avoid, to tell you to avoid and do, just didn't work. And so the great big media machine has taken over even this this wonderful way of broadcasting. They brought me into this place 20 years ago because they said, you know, you're the only guy who did real radio at that time, right? You know, so, and nobody else wants us. Really, true. And I'm always talking to a couple of layers of audience. I'm talking to you who still listen from 20 years And all you hear things, you go, oh, he's talking about that again, you know. And then the newer people, who aren't new people, a new person is a baby. You know what I mean? Newer listeners to this. So I do tend to bring up certain things which are still true. I wouldn't have to do that if this plan, which wasn't a plan, but this energy, this miracle of digital broadcasting worked, but it doesn't work, and it didn't work. And it was invaded by, you know, the Nazis of, I hate to use that word for anything, really. I mean that allegory. Let's just say the profiteers of the hypocrites. Hey, a hypocrite's better than Nazi. What would you rather be, a hypocrite or a Nazi? I mean, a Nazi. Oh, but all Nazis were hypocrites, but not all hypocrites are Nazis. Thank you very much. But who took over this world of broadcasting? Friend of mine and me. He's a friend of mine. He could be a friend of mine. He could be with someone else, but he was a friend of mine and me talking the other day about how many people, who listens to all these podcasts they have now? You know, when podcasts began, and we were here before podcasts began, okay? When people were still going, what the heck is that? Now they all got their phones, they stick it in their ears, and they listen to everything, but who could listen to all these things? How much time does a person have? The amount of input between audio and video and audio-video vis-a-vis, you know, cable and streaming, you know, Netflix and HBO and H2O and all that stuff. It's amazing to think that you could, and I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could spend your life just listening and watching. You wouldn't have to do anything. The visual of a couch potato, become a couch mummy. You could sit down and just get about and not do anything. Don't pay your bills. Don't make yourself dinner. Or you could continue to make yourself dinner or get dinner or a whole bunch of TV dinners. You know, why don't they have streaming dinners? Just thought of this. You know, that used to have these things called TV dinners. And back in the old days of television, when there was only television. Okay, it wasn't interwebs or anything. And there were these things called TV dinners. And they were little, they sold them. Swanson, I think, was the name of the, and they might still be out there, even though I have no idea. I guess you could still watch TV. Of course you can. I don't guess you can watch TV. You can watch TV. But they had these things called TV dinners because at one time, when TV was growing, when TV was new and exciting and people were getting it in their homes, buying these furniture sets and watching in black and white, and that's right, even before color on television, before flatbed. Yeah, I mean, you should see TVs compared to what a TV is now. I just got myself, or my son's just bought me a flat screen, you know, TV with the thing and the HD and the stuff. And it's absolutely marvelous when I think of the Magnavox television my father had, which was, it was so big. It was so, what a contraption, and so filled with things inside of it, tubes and the screen and the thing. You know, when you think of the difference, you see how far we have come, which I'm not judging that as bad. I'm not saying let's go back and do that, the other old stuff, because the old stuff, let's face it, sucked compared to the new stuff. It did. I'm not at all blaming or putting down the digital platform. You know that if you've listened to me through the years, because I've done nothing except promote the great things about the digital platform and what has become. Talk about phones. Young people complain about phones. Okay, but let's use that as another topic. And TV dinners, there's aluminum, and there were little compartments, kind of like the things you see if you watch, and I shouldn't say that either, because I don't even know what they do up there in outer space. What are the astronauts eating out? They still eat out of tubes, you know, like toothpaste, chicken, and they squeeze the tube, and they get chicken, and they squeeze another tube, and they get broccoli, and they, is that what they do? I don't know. Or do they have a whole nother thing? Do they sip from some big bag, or, I don't even know that. But the TV dinners was great marketing, if you think about it, because people were starting to watch television while they ate, not just the kids. And what, so when TV was getting a very, TV was getting big, the physical TV was big, of course, we've already said that. When TV was getting to be the center of, who was it? Was it, I forgot his name now. The guy who wrote Cuckoo's Nest. Ken Kesey, when the Ken Kesey, the great American triangle, was the couch, that was the base, and the family sitting on the couch, and all of them watching, you know, their eyes were all pointed at the TV screen. That was the Great American Triangle. And when that really started to bring families together, together, well, like, at least they were physically together if they were just paying attention to television. When that happened, and people, the quick way to eat, okay, mom didn't have to cook, or dad didn't have to cook. If he cooked, or whoever cooked, kids did cook. Kids never cooked in those days. And they'd have TV dinners. And you know, they bought these folding tables. These, I guess you could still get them. I don't know what they call them now. I guess they use them for parties. And I don't know what they use them. I have no idea. When I eat and I watch a movie or TV, and I often do, I eat alone a lot, so I don't sit and, you know, I don't have a little table or anything. I just sit on, I put my food on my lap. Of course, it's in a dish. And I eat it and I watch and I have a little side table with a lamp or whatever. But you don't really care how I eat, with the configuration of my eating, my dining room. That doesn't matter. Well, but what I'm saying is these are folding, tables were created by folding table. I don't know who created them. I guess who made that kind of stuff? Who invented the folding TV eating table? That guy, this guy or gals or whoever this might have been. And we know now it could have been a gal too. See, they just didn't give her the credit. All right. But we know who did it. Who said, you know what we need to do? We need to get this metal thing, you know, and just click it on, because it would click it. You could fold it up and put it on, you know, against the wall. And then you take it out, and then you take the top of it. I'm saying this because I know a lot of you have never seen these folding tables. Now they have the folding tables. Yeah, they're more stylish. I guess there's wood and stuff. But these metal folding tables, now they're probably plastic. There's no way they're metal anymore. And these metal tables were great. The family in the Great American Triangle, the family would all put their tables in front of them. So you had the family there. Let's say it was the typical family of the early 60s, 50s, 60s, of course, which was a mother, father, a daughter, and a son. That's the typical, there's a word for that too. Wow, I forgot that word. And I shouldn't forget words. That's one thing I shouldn't do if I'm going to talk on radio. But I have plenty of them, and I'll come. Anyway, let's just say that's the model family. Well, it was the model family, as was marketing in the 60s, 50s and 60s. You know, the baby boomer family. So they would have four of these tables in front of them, and they would have on the tables, fitting very nicely on the tables, the TV dinners, Swanson TV dinners. I know there must have been other companies that made TV dinners, but Swanson will always get the credit for the TV dinner. Just like if you want to tape two pieces of paper together, use Scotch tape. Not cellophane tape, because it's actually cellophane tape. You'll use Scotch tape. And the cellophane tape became known as Scotch tape, because that's what pop culture and marketing, and that's what it does to Western civilization. And I'm sure it did it to other civilizations. I'm sure in Rome, from what I read, there were also things like that. Wherever there's a civilization, there's a pop culture, and that goes on. But anyway, they would have the table, and they'd sit there, watch whatever they were, and listen. There were no remotes. So somebody had to get up and change a channel. And the channel was changed with a dial, not a button, or a dial. And the dial had in the middle of it had a place you could put your index finger and your thumb, and then you'd click the channels, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And the channels, of course, were different in every city because of markets. And you're getting a full education here about broadcasting on the ad, okay? And it's costing you nothing. I don't even have a commercial today. It's costing you nothing for this. But the TV dinners, and what I'm doing while I'm talking is I'm thinking, I was in the store today, a supermarket, and of course there were very few supermarkets in those days. Those were also the days of neighborhood grocery stores. And you knew them by the person, usually a guy, who ran it or owned it. Irving's, for instance. I remember Irving's on 18th Avenue and 58th Street. Irving's. And people would say, like, I gotta go get some groceries. I don't even know if they said grocery. Yeah, it was a grocery store, usually. And that's what they would say. But then they wouldn't say, they would say, I'm gonna go to Irving's and get some food. Oh, you're going to Irving's. And the people who went to Irving's were the people who lived in that area. And if you were like on the cusp of like Irving's, and then there was the next local place was like Louis. These are two I remember. And that was, let's say, 7 or 8 blocks away from Irving's. It was Louis. So you go to Louis. Go to Louis and get that. Go to Louis and get stuff for breakfast. Go to Louis and get stuff for lunch. Go to Louis and get stuff for dinner. For snacks. Go to Irving's. Get stuff for breakfast, for lunch, for snacks, for dinner. They added all these guys. And usually the family worked with them. Okay, so I just thought, as I'm talking, there's all the names of all these grocery, family-type grocery stores, these independent, all the names are coming through my, going through my head. But the TV dinners was a wonderful marketing idea. Well, the food was crap. Okay, let's just get that straight right now. Crap. But you didn't care. You were watching TV. And the kids started, they did it especially for kids in the beginning because kids were saying like, oh, it's the Lone Ranger and they want to watch Bozo and they want to watch this, that, and the other thing. And some families allowed their children to watch TV and eat dinner. And it was good for mom too, because mom was like, I'll just go get a whole bunch of these things, stick them in a freezer. And then, you heat them up. And remember, no microwaves. I know we're talking about prehistoric America. Western America. I guess everywhere. Although I do not know if they had TV dinners in France. I do not know if they had TV dinners in Germany. I do not know if they had TV dinners in Switzerland. Might I go on? Even Australia. Who knows? But the TV dinner in America was a big smash during that time. But of course, it would have to be a dying product because that particular time would come to an end. And this takes us right back to the beginning, where I introduced the show, as I did 20 years ago, on this new platform in this new area of broadcasting. Today, what? What is it today? Radio. Get on. And the guys are just, guys with agendas, girls with agendas, political crap, what's wrong, all that stuff, commercializing the non-productive talking mouths, they're talking heads on TV, news guys and news gals and talking heads, and they're talking what? Talking buffoons, talking the voices, blown up plastic voices, people who are making, millions of, not a lot of them, because there are not a lot of them. See, you don't even have a lot of local guys. Radio is dead. AM radio is really dead. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because time moves on, just like the TV dinner left us. So left us, so will hopefully a lot of these, so did the, personality radio left us. The whole music thing changed, everything, the ripples. This is the Hallelujah Trail. See, this is where we were going. We knew it when we started. Okay, we just thought it would happen a little differently when the big money came in. Didn't happen. So although you might be able to get, and I'm sure you can get, TV dinners. Again, I was thinking about being in the supermarket. You see how I went down that rabbit trail? Rabbit trail? It's a rabbit hole. And I said, I should have checked, because in the frozen food section, there's got to be what we knew as TV dinners. And the items changed, but it's the same thing. It's a human behavior, It's like something's on, I'll watch it in front of there. Whether it's a flat disc, hard documents, or it's a video, or it's a DVD, ADCD, whatever. 6,200 channels, and you pick one, movies, Netflix, Streamflix, Flickstrip, and Hulu, and Tripod, and Showtime, Mixtime, Maximilian Movies, or whatever, you know, Stars, Bars, I have so much stuff. Same thing goes on. Even maybe not a family, it may just be a couple. Newly married couple? Not even newly married. Dates. You can go on dates. Watch. You can go to your house now to go on dates. You can date, invite someone, although people are very hesitant still because the human condition is the human condition. It's like, come over to my house. I've asked people, come on over to my house. We'll watch a good movie. I think it's a good movie. We'll watch it together, share it together, talk about it. And we'll eat something. But just put it in your lap. Not the food, but the dish and whatever. But the TV, I don't remember TV dinners being good at all. But they serve a purpose for that time, and they left. They're gone. That's it. Even though now you make your own dinners or whatever you do, or you buy whatever they call TV dinners. They don't call them TV dinners anymore. I don't know what they call them. Swanson frozen food, quick dinners with quick, fast. Is it fast food? It is. Little, you know. The old Jewish joke about the horrible restaurant, everything is so terrible. The same thing you could say for the TV dinners. You know, it's like, look at the TV dinner. This one has mashed potatoes. This one has mashed potatoes, corn, side of corn, little apple thing for dessert in there too. And then has a Siamese steak. I didn't mean Siamese. I meant to say, what's that called? Sesame seed steak. No, what is a steak called? Whatever it is, the symbol of your hamburger, then the meatloaf. You got meatloaf, right? And you got all these things here and it's crap. It's crap. You eat the meatloaf. It's steak. Ugh. It's horrible. No matter how much you heat it up, are they real carrots? I don't know. And a thing, and you eat them, and says, this is horrible. And the guy sitting next to you says, yeah, and such small portions. It's the same thing, right? So they're still out there. I'm going to remember to look next time and report back about what the hell they have in those particular things. Right now, I'm not going to do that because we're here at Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name adorns the title of the show. Lots of things have been happening out there in the pop culture world, and I got tons of things that we've not covered, and we're going to have guests, and this is going to go on here in 2019 for as long as it goes on, okay? Because we all like the TV dinner. Eventually, there's absolutely no use for us to be here. They buried us. The Adam Carollas and the Mark Marins and the ABCs, NBCs, and all the people who have all the thousands of podcasts in there. You know, but if you do want to hear this show and you don't listen to it live, by the way, they don't do those shows live, you know, but let's not do the comparison thing and get into that bitter, ring of disturbance where we knock over these Joe Palooka blow-up dolls of Adam Carolla and Mark Maron and whoever else. So what you do is you go to juicedtalk.com. Juiced, like, you know, you make juice. Juicedtalk.com. And our archives are there. So you could go there, you could download a show, you could put that show on your on your phone or whatever you do anymore. I've launched, by the time you listen to this, there might be another device you use now for it. But you could do that. You can listen to it on your computer. You can listen to it at your own, on your own time or what have you. And you could fast forward ahead. I don't care. This is a now thing. And this is we just do what we're doing. Even when we have a topic, we don't know where we're going to wind up. And what we've been doing in the past, year or so, because we've been on so long, and I'm not saying so long, don't go away yet. Unless you want to go away, then you can go away. But we've been finding shows, Cotolo Chronicles shows from the past that people request because they have been around and heard certain shows. You know, when you do a show like this for so long, you can't help but feel bad that so many people missed some of the great shows. Luckily, and this is luckily, because when we started this, you couldn't even make a gosh damn copy. You couldn't, it would take you forever to download or play on. It was just nuts back in those days. Makes it sound like there were also pterodactyls, but there weren't. That's how long ago and how short ago. How come they don't say that? How short ago was that? Short ago? Short ago. What does short ago sound like? Sound like a language, another word from another language. Short ago. That's how far we've come in so little time. Future Shock, Alan Toffler. I could just say things and just spit them out. And, you know, through the years, that's why you have the Cotolo Chronicles notebook, and you write down things so that later if you hear stuff that I don't get into talking about, you go to your Bing or your Yahoo, your Google. Hey, did you hear that Google, speaking of it, Google Plus, which, wow, they started that thinking they were going to come up with another Facebook. And boy, everyone's, who's not glad they didn't come up with another Facebook? And aren't we all leaving Facebook as quickly as possible? That rat hole. But anyway, Google Plus, which was supposed to be the gateway to many great things. And don't get me wrong, I've become a Google guy. I'm doing serious writing in my writing career and stuff on Google Plus. I've done away with Word. I haven't done away with it, but I'm not paying for it anymore. And we've told you about the things that have gone astray in this digital world so that more people could be billionaires. Google, I like Google, but Google Plus was supposed to be a place where people met, same thing, right? People met, people talked, people shared things. It was Facebook. You put a picture, share some pictures of links and things. It's same old, same crap, you know? And, they notified most people who were involved with Google Plus, and I think they only given a couple of days notice, although they've been talking about getting rid of it. They're getting rid of it. What a waste of time now. No, who went there? Everybody, I know tons of people started to add Google Plus onto their social network menu. And I could name places that go way back before, you know, there was, Yahoo goes back a long way, Excite, you know, places like that, which are now abandoned. They're like those towns you see in the movies when they say, this town, the factory closed, and there's no, and there used to be TV dinners, so, it's like, you see the barren place, and you see the tumbleweed, and, people, there's no people, you see no people. But Google Plus, people went there and started a page. But well, after a while, people were going to one particular place. And look, the number of people who have left Facebook is just remarkable too. The younger people moved on to their phones, to Twittering and stuff because, even Facebook put a strain on some people's attention span. Wild, isn't it? Maybe not to some of you, but you're not listening to this either, are you, then, now? So Google Plus will be gone, and they said, go there quick and take back all you want, your photos, take your photos, because they're just gonna purge it. And there's going to be a time, like, whatever they said, at midnight on February 12th, whatever, Google will no longer exist. All the other great Google things will be there. You'll still be able to translate stuff. Google, thank goodness, don't get rid of Google Docs. Holy Christmas, what a gift to mankind is Google Docs. See, I tell it the way I know it, and I've been here since the beginning of this messy atmosphere. Google Docs rules. It's dope, man. She didn't say man after dope. Trying to keep up with all the great urban Gen X. What is it? I don't know. I forgot. Oh, that reminds me too. Yes, I had promised this before the year, turned over, that a representative from younger generation, and who's not my son, because he does the show and stuff with me now and plays that role. But somebody who's not done this or radio or anything, going to be interviewed here, an anonymous person, and was scheduled to be here before the holiday there, well, 2018 was before it. And unfortunately, was in a car accident and couldn't be here. Thank goodness this person was fine. Recently in touch with this person saying, I'm definitely going to be there live. Not on a Skype thing either. Like right here near this, right there. I know, is that clipping? See, anything that need be done that isn't done anywhere else, you won't hear like, who do you listen to? You won't listen to, I've got to pull a name out of my hat, and I'm not even wearing one. Well, see, Adam Carolla again. Adam Carolla won't do that. See, all the stuff that's been, because this show has been, from the beginning to the end, completely void of any, I'm not going to say professional, because that word is, you know, not used here in lots of ways. Normal, regular, what's the word I'm using? There's no FCC here. It's a regulation. There have been no regulation. Rules or regulations? None from the beginning. We've done exactly what we want to do, and we have done it perfectly, normally, on the moment. So we don't care about, and we don't edit the show. So when you listen to this and you want to call it a podcast, however long it is, it's usually 2 hours, but sometimes I let my class go early. I know, and I play drums with my chopsticks on my desk. Anything we want. Okay, we're going to get into some topics here now. We had some topics there too, but there's something else I want to do, because I did mention that people ask about certain shows going back for as long as this show has been able to be recorded as we've broadcasted it. And then we're the first syndicated show ever in this particular area of broadcasting. So there. So give us, there you go. The wall is just filled with awards. The wall is not, there's not even a wall. It's, oh, forget it. The blog, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, still lists every year that we have recorded these things, okay? And we have those in an archive. Not all of it is at JuicedTalk.com. It's in my special archive, which is saved by thanks to Carbonite, another great gift to the digital world, Carbonite. I'm not getting paid for these commercials or endorsements. I'm just telling you because I like it, and these are good things. And people go through that, scrolling through every week of every year since it started, and since it was able to be recorded. So we were on before we were able to record it live, only live. So there's no shows that are recorded, but. And they see, oh, geez, I'm sorry. I missed that show about this or this show about that. And someone recently said, you know, if you're going to get on in February, this is how they say it in New York, February. There's no R. February. You grow up in certain places of the world, in the country, and even in the very city. North side, you're from the south side, from the east side, the west side, and then there's different cultures going on. Then and now. You learn to say things incorrectly. February. Where's the R? No wonder everybody spelled it wrong. There were calendars that people sold in New York. Said February. F-E-B-U-R-E. It's February. So someone said, you did a show once about the day the music died. It's a big pop culture thing. And a bigger thing than most other stuff, not that I don't want to degradate the deaths of other pop culture figures, but the death of Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and La Bamba Kid there on February 7th or whatever it was. Yeah, was it? No, this is February 7th. That was the 9th or something. Anyway, we did a show about that and a lot of that we knew about Buddy Holly and a bunch of stuff that went on there, because for the brief time that he was on the face of the earth, he was a huge influence and still is a huge influence down the bloodline of, you know, rock and roll people. And the ninth, which is coming up in 2 days, I don't remember the exact, maybe it was the fifth, I don't know, but we did a show. Not then, not in 57. No, of course, we did a show about it. And someone said, oh, geez, I wish I would have heard that show because you know so much about that stuff. And that is not the way the person talked. I'm not mocking him, but maybe it is the way he talked. These characters come through my head and I do them. But anyway, and I want the anniversary of Buddy Holly's funeral. Don't you hate when people do that? Teachers used to do that. They used to go, now listen, I'm telling you this. Okay? You better know this. It'll be on the test. No, nobody did it. He would say, like, you better know this. And then kids would always say, is that going to be on a test? Is that going to be on a test? Is that going to be on the test? Is that going to be on the test? Why would they tell you what's going to be on the test? Why do they test? Why did we go? This is real philosophically existential, right? Why are you here? Why are you listening right now? Huh? Don't ask yourself that. Because once you ask, if you're enjoying it, and once you ask yourself that, you're going to question. If you don't ask yourself that, you just listen, and you know you like it. If you don't like it, just turn it off. You just go with that particular feeling. But you don't ask suddenly, you analyze it, right? That can be on the test. We did the show February 9th of 2012. We did the show about Buddy Holly. And I'm going to play parts of that show. Because it's been requested. And you, too, can request shows that we did by going to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and scrolling through there and going, geez, do you have this? And then writing to me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. Okay? Or if you know me and you're my friend on Facebook, ask me with a message there. I try to return all messages, but I guarantee you I will get back to you more quickly at fcotolo@yahoo.com, because I do not go to Facebook that often. And I only ever went to these social media places to as promotion. But that's a whole nother show. Somewhere along the line, I must have done that show. So this particular show, about it was the anniversary of Buddy Holly's funeral, the 9th. So the plane crashed, I don't know, whenever before that. And I had some personal recollections based on my years in the music world, the entertainment world. And I'm going to play that. I don't know how long it goes, but it'll take up some time here. If I can't do it again. Here's the problem with shows that are based on events or anniversaries. If you're on a long time, like we have been on many years, and that is, you know, there's going to be another anniversary of the Buddy Holly situation, just to use Buddy Holly, next year. So what am I going to do? Do it again? I'll never do the same thing twice. So what am I going to do? Do it again? And, you know, in the beginning, when other people were trying to put together shows, and before there were podcasts, and people were trying to put together shows, and they'd come to me, or they'd write to me, and they'd say, hey, Frank, it's going to be Halloween. You're going to do a Halloween show? And it's like, no, we don't do shows based around holidays or celebrations or anniversaries. Once, even when we do a show that pertains to something like that, it's a one-time thing. So we didn't do, we're not going to do that. And that's also so regular radio, you know, and we weren't. This is a whole different platform. This is a whole different paradigm. And it always has been. So now that we've been here so long, we only did one Buddy Holly show. They might have mentioned him in reference to other shows we did or when we had some guests on that were had related experiences or professions or whatever, but no. So at this point, it's not a matter of, like, let me go sit down and play this thing that I did. It's a matter of, look, that's as good as it got. And there it is on, thank goodness we have it, there it is. Why not listen to the original thing? Because I'm not going to do it again. And I'm not going to prepare to do anything for any particular stuff. The only thing that we do every year is the last Thursday of every year and the roll call from the Bone Garden with the artist D. And that is different than anyone, anything does. But we don't do it. It's like, oh, I'm going to the Christmas show. we do these lame things, and we don't use the lame language of radio. The lame language of radio, which, by the way, is the name of my new book. You go out and get it at Bookbusters, The Lame Language of Radio by Frank Cotolo. And maybe I'll come to your town, your city, your hamlet, and I'll sign. I'll come for a book signing. And remember, when I'm at a book signing, I'll sign any book. Okay? So even if you don't buy my book, I'll sign your book, whatever book you have. If you're another author and you have a book, come on down and bring your book. I'll sign your book. And speaking of books, once again, thanks to the people who've been buying the digital books that I have, which are not, they're in digital form books. That are not, they're not analog books. I have analog and I have digital books. And the ones at Amazon, which are the best sellers, don't ask me why, probably because it's Amazon, people just find it. And because a lot of people read books now on their phones, on their tablets, even that went, right? When they said, here's a special device now for you to read books. And that one went, gone. Just like, everybody has a video camera and a camera, right? Now, if you have a smartphone, it's like, imagine in the old days if everybody walked, the old days, you can't imagine the old days, but with what people had in terms of devices in the, even as early as like the 80s, people could not walk around with a video recorder, a camera that took quality pictures, the kind of digital pictures, plus a telephone. Plus, it's ridiculous. You would not even be able to dress every day because you'd have to carry this bulky stuff. You'd have like a tool belt filled with stuff. But anyway, you don't do that. My books at Amazon, go get them. They're cheap and they're great. Now, I don't put out anything that I don't think is really good. It's something that I want to read. Although there's one or two things with my name on it, and I have no idea where they came from, whatever. I'll fix that up. But the novels and the novellas, they're short reads, good reads, bingo, they're done. You go right through them. Some of them are funny, some of them are poignant, some of them are poignantly funny, and some of them are hilariously poignant. Whatever the case may be, go get them. They're cheap, they're good, and that's that. Now, you can get the other books that I have in digital, but there are books you can get into analog. Yes, I am doing a commercial for myself right now, okay? As we move into the end of the first hour. And we don't even know how many hours we'll do. Because we're going to do this until we do it here. Lulu, L-U-L-U .com. There are three small books. Three small books there. They're small books because they're like chapbooks. They're not, but you can get them analog, and they're cheaper analog. The analog stuff's always like so much more expensive because these are drop shipped items. If you don't know what that's all about, go read it some about whatever. You probably know if you're in this digital world of where, anybody can write a book now and put it out, but that doesn't mean it's good or it's done by a writer. Okay. So look, Lulu.com, three books that are very entertaining. And then go to blurb.com, blurb.com, where T. Stephen Gesick and I, T. Stephen Gesick, who is a illustrator, marvelous illustrator, who has done many TV shows and as a design person, and he was, Tosh.2 or whatever it was, a wonderful, wonderful man too. And married to Peggy Robinson, who's a wonderful director and movie associate director and director and writer and whatever. Okay, let's land. The point is this. The Molotov Memoirs books. There's two of them. Molotov Memoirs, the original, and more Molotov Memoirs are available there in digital or as analog. Analogs are expensive, I'll tell you right now, but they're great. They're wonderful items. So there, you know, I'm not going to say money back if you don't like it. I'm not going to say that. Who would do that? Does Stephen King do that? Does Stephen King get onto a public format somewhere and go, I'll go buy my books? I don't know how he talks. I've heard him, but I don't know. Go buy my books. And if you don't like it, I'll give you the money back. He doesn't do that. Why should I? Get them. You'll enjoy them in digital or in analog. A lot of people I know are from, you know, my generation, we still like books. And a lot of younger people are learning to like books too. You know, physical books. The physical and the analog, the physical and the virtual, the analog and the digital. Those are the formats. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, please go there and get some books and read them. I'm not, you know, living off the fat of the land for these books because they're inexpensive, but they're good. And I got a place to put them, and I'm happy about that. And I'm thankful to Amazon, Lulu, and Blurb. And to anybody who supports me by being a reader. You'll enjoy them. Now, where's that other thing I have here? You say what? You say you just go along and yet you still have it. No, I do have it. I was going to talk about drones. I am going to talk about drones. Not very long, unless, you know, we don't do, but I promise that I'm going to do this. Should I do this now? We can always push the drones thing back because we can do anything we want here. So as we come up to the first hour's ending, and I'll be looking now for the little thing we do in the middle here. We'll be doing the, I want to do the Buddy Holly thing for those who asked for it. Why not? I should do that. What am I looking for here? You know, I have to do everything myself here because I don't have, what was I looking for? Oh, I was looking for the thing we do in the middle of this. Plus I'll put on that stupid box. I'm going to do something. I'm going to play that. We'll play the middle thing. What's the middle thing? All of a sudden it's called the middle thing. We're going to play the, I think I'll do it again. You can even hear my heater. See? So it's like you're right here with me. We're together. This is the way it's always been. Even when there were more people here, I'm the only one left. I'm the last broadcaster standing. But I'm the bard. Don't you forget it. Write to all those other guys and say, hey, you and your stupid politics, we know what you're going to say. We know what you're going to do. But if you want to hear freewheeling and professional in the sense, but I don't get paid, then you come to Cotolo Chronicles. You find other stations because we're on a lot. True Talk Radio in Montreal. I keep mentioning them as opposed to other ones because True Talk, we're on twice a day in True Talk Radio. I love that place. And the people the listeners in that station like me. Otherwise, they wouldn't put me on twice a day. And so you can catch up with all sorts of stuff. You never know what it's going to play. But usually the current one is playing, so you get to hear that too anytime you want. And then on CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com on the bottom it says, has links to various places where you can hear the show on other rapidly disappearing internet radio stations. It is a shame too. And when I looked at, when I was looking to find the, let's see if I can do it now, just give you an idea as we go up to, top of the hour. I'm going to go there, right? Yeah. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. As I looked at these various, entries, let's call them entries, from the years, and I go way back, where is it here? What happened to that? Here they are. Here, the list. You see all the months of all the years on the left side I know you're not going there now, what have you. But if I go to like when it was real, things were really hot. Let's go November 2007. How many stations were we on back then? I'll just give you an idea. There's so many stations that are gone. Audio Coffee, gone. True Talk Radio, still there. Attitude Radio, gone. US Radio X, gone. SRN, of course, SRN1 is our host station and the people who we turned when Amcast went down. KJAG Radio, Stiggy Jaguar, he was still there. Network 1KX, what the hell happened to them? Wild Bunch Radio, I gone. The Wolf Radio, Rant Radio, Flash Radio, Extreme Radio America, Tyne FM in Great Britain. These are stations we were on, so many of them gone. Gone. And that was as late as 2007. If I go before then, if I can get a couple here, to like May 2005, and I got a list of stuff here. Hey, look what's coming up. Oh, that's June. Forget it. Hey, where are we here? What do we have? Do we have here that was when we really started guests. When Paul, listen, let me just give this to you. Okay, these are the stations where we broadcasted, that broadcasted us before. Or well, there were podcasts and things like that, but this is when we were still hot, still a hot item, still, you know, there's still the thing to listen to when it came to network, internet work radio. Listen to this state. We were on live. Here we were rebroadcasted from these stations. Of course, Amcast.com, we were still on. Sean Radio. ExtremeRadio.co.uk. So that was in Rant Radio, Flash Radio, CJB.net, I know, York, on SRN, that was there too. Crush Radio, K-R-U-S-H, right? Crush Radio. Podcast.net, IndieMusicExchange.com, NewTimeRadio.com, IndieArtistRadio.com, TheWolfRadio.com, Crystal1.net, US Radio X, Radio306.com, KJAG Radio, Cube, what? KUBCR Radio, JiggyJaguar.com, Shoutcast, of course, Podcast Alley. And that's then. Oh, you want to go back? Even more back? Let's see, let's go way back. Here, let's go to early, March 2005. How many were we on? Wow. We used to do a lot. You know, you could go back and read some of these entries, too. We used to do a lot more entries in the days when we had blogs and stuff. How about this here? What is it? Skywriting.net? We were on there too. Joylight.com. What else? Oh my goodness. Let's see. PlanetRadio.com. US Radio X. I said that. Crystal One. Yeah. The Wolf Radio. NewTimeRadio.com. Jeeper1.tripod.com. Flash Radio. Oh, I said that. Rant Radio. Okay. These were all stations. These were all people who broadcast on the interweb. Okay. All right. So that being so, now there's here and anywhere else that you go. With that, my name is Frank Catolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're going to play, coming right out of the, Bob Hope song. I love this little piece of stuff. Thank you, Bill Minnick, for getting me this. Call Me Buona from, it's a show, we did a show a long time ago. Bob Hope, a rare Bob Hope recording from a rare Bob Hope movie, Call Me Buona, which will come out of our signature top of the hour, first hour, thing. So that you could go and get yourself some more beverage. If you haven't already gotten any, one more beverage. And, run off to the bathroom or do whatever it is you need to do. Come back for the second hour. But right out of it, I'm going to have to come back and find it, but, cause I have to cue it up from February 9th, 2012, the section of that show about, the anniversary of the Buddy Holly tragedy and, what was his name? Rodriguez? His real name? I don't know. The La Bamba Kid and the Big Bopper and the death escaped. The death escape. Escaped from death by Waylon Jennings. So if you don't know that stuff, this stuff is really a real good stuff to listen to. And then when that's over, if there's enough time, I'll come back. We'll talk about drones. Otherwise, you know, just move on. We'll move the drones thing to another time. Because I could do an hour on drones now, and maybe I will next time. But this is the way it wound up. This is where we are. I'm Frank Attola, Mayor's Name, and joins the title show. We'll be right back.
Jungle territory, they call me Wahan now. From Kilimanjaro down to the sea, they call me Wahan now. When the natives see me coming, all the drummers start a drumming. A ceremonial welcome for me, the Dala Wahana.
Ooh ah, ooh ah, ooh ah, rust and twist and boogie, ooh ah, ooh ah, ooh ah.
All the village maidens fall at my feet and call me Wahana. Then they start a twisting primitive beat. Americana, who can think about safari while the jungle nights are starry and the air is filled with passionate heat. Wana manyahana. Ooh, zombie oonga walla, ooh, ooh, ramaku oomba. Girls, better watch your step, the big wanna's in town. Teachy binga banga goomba, la watumba. When native girls are rising, boss man puts them down. The pretty chicks are friendly, I know. They call me Wahana, making with a very special hello. For Rocka Wahana, they are far too hot to handle. Burn that old proverbial candle, but it's such a lovely way to go. Nirvana Wahana. La 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 la. Call me Wahana. Ooh, la, 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 la. Ooh, ah. Ooh, that's Wana. Ooh, la. Ooh,
oh,
man, Wana.
Oh, boy, huh?
Ooh, it's top banana, Wana.
Yeah, there's actually a movie called Call Me Wana, and there's a whole story behind that, and it's... I'm not going to do it now because that's not what we're doing right now. And as you know me, I'm going to get into a topic and then there goes an hour or so. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Cotolo Chronicles is not about me. It's Cotolo Chronicling. Cotolo Chronicles. It's present tense. It's what happens here. Now, I'm going to queue up a show, a part of a show. I got to go to 29.29. Let's see if I can get there. Oh, almost. 29.29. Come on. 29.27. 29.44. What happened at 29.29? It's so difficult to do when you have, yeah, today's 29.27. It's as close as we're going to get to 29.29. In 29 minutes, 29 seconds into that show on the 9th of February, 2012. This is what was on. This is the request about the Buddy Holly anniversary, which, and, you know, it's this week is what I'm saying. Is, so we're not gonna do it again. We're not gonna do something new. We're gonna give you what we gave you back then. You too, as I mentioned, can request a show or just request a topic and we'll go back into the archive, see if we did it. fcatolo@yahoo.com. In the meantime, here I am, and all about this stuff for as long as this is gonna be on. I'll chop it off when we got there. And, that's that here on Cotolo Chronicles. Let's listen to this here for a second. Tell me if you have any idea. Well, that's really short, isn't it? Tell me if you have any idea. The year is 1956, and this is not radical. But listen, let me know. Listen to this.
Hold me close and tell me how you feel. Tell me love is real. Words of love you whisper soft and true. Darling, I love you.
That's him. That's him. Isn't this, it's like almost uncivilized, the nature of this recording. Listen to it. What's going on with this? Yes, that's an electric guitar back in 1956. That's the way that sounded. It's the voice of Buddy Holly. Song he wrote, writing songs himself, doing them.
Let me hear you say the words I want to hear.
Okay.
Darling, when you're near.
This is not the most. I don't like talking over where I'm singing.
Words of love you.
Okay.
Whisper soft and true.
It's almost over.
Darling, I love you.
Little simple piece of music. It's only like 2 minutes long. What was so nuts about that, right? Well, that was after, whew, so tame. And yet in those days, got to go back and think about something. And that is while Buddy Holly was still alive. I don't know how to do this. I'm going to jump around. Okay. I'm not going to do this in chronologically. For those of you who don't know, there's a lot of little facts and stuff in here that add to the fiber of pop culture. And of course, there's a lot of neo-postmodernism in here also. Buddy Holly, got the attention of some local radio stations in Texas when he had a band which consisted of a bass player and a drummer and him. And the bass player, it wasn't an electric bass either. It was an electric guitar, drums. And there was one of those big basses, you know, a big boom, 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 boom. Oh yeah, you're supposed to know that. You know, stand up bass, they used to call them. Okay. And they still play them, you can play them with a bow or whatever. But the deal is that, this guy came upon the scene, a white guy, three white guys, Buddy Holly. And he had these guys with him. Okay. Two guys, and came to be known as the Crickets. The Crickets. Bugs. Hear anything in your head? Okay. I'm going to try and put this all together. And I think, you know, if you don't know a lot about Buddy Holly, then I guess, you know, you're going to have to go back and read the history or go Google it or what have you, because I don't want to, this is not the history of Buddy Holly. I'm not that guy. What was his name? Oh, man, what were the, oh God. I'm from radio and I don't do the, I'm not from that school. I worked with a couple of those guys and I did a couple of those, you know, specials, mainstream specials, but that's not me either. I'm the kid in the classroom and the, you know, turning red when everybody's purple and purple when everybody's red. I mean, I understand Buddy Holly because I know what it's like to hear things that people, most people look at and say, yeah, but you know, the youth has always, always managed to come up with the energy and the excitement and the verve of new found sounds. Okay. And adults, generation after generation, have looked down upon it. But in the beginning of rock and roll, in the beginning of that particular idea of that kind of music, this was a very threatening situation. And I told you years ago, perhaps, about this college I went to that had a campus, and you know, out of a building in New York City. And that building in New York City is where the first real rock and roll record was recorded in the 50s. Okay? Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Was that it? Or Rock Around the Clock. That's right, Rock Around the Clock. Shake, Rattle, and Roll was not the first one. Rock Around the Clock was recorded where I went to college. Okay, so it's a historic, pop culture historic place. But, I bring that up only because, that was the beginning of it. And so many people are looking at 50 years like it was ages ago. And you know, what's happened to pop music and where it's gone and how it's, you know, been knocked around and been beaten up. Buddy Holly was one of the guys in the beginning who just heard this sound. He wasn't even like a real Elvis fan or anything, you know. He wasn't, he was just into this sound that he heard in his head, and he was a goofy looking kid with glasses. Yeah? I mean, where do you see some pictures of him? He was not your, you know, your handsome guy. He was not your Elvis looking guy. He was a real geeky looking kid with an electric guitar and two guys, called the Crickets. And he was, ostracized by everyone. Now remember, he's in Texas. Yeah, you know, Texas has changed a lot. You know, and Austin is very liberal and blah, blah, blah. But you know, rock and roll was the devil's music, and it was worse than the devil's music. There was, rock and roll was considered a very, you know, racists really came out of the woodwork against rock and roll. They called it jungle music. It had that beat. And they associated that beat, of course, with the entire race of black people, which even, what was it, how many, almost 100 years after the Civil War, was still an issue. And there's similarities between the things that they said. But back then they said things way, they just said it out. See, today they don't say it out. But we have the same situation, maybe not necessarily the music, but this stuff still goes on. But there's Buddy Holly, this white guy. And it's important to say that. We have to say he's a white guy, because they were pointing fingers at him and telling him that he was doing all this black music. Now this is a very, very, important part of pop culture, because like I said, when the white people started doing music that had that beat, that rock and roll, which is a term coined in Cleveland by a Cleveland disc jockey. We're not going to go into him either. Just going to stay with Buddy Holly, because this whole socio-cultural thing that's going on today was going on then. And remember, today, can you imagine those people back in those days who even imagining that there would be anything near a black president? I mean, and that's nuts. And I'm saying black. I'm using black. I know I'm not saying African American, okay? It's all right. But wow. I mean, that was like this out of the question. That's only 59 years ago. Well, a little longer than 59 years ago, because Buddy Holly died, okay? And on his way to, he was already a major success when he died. How this stuff comes together. is fascinating. And remember, it's February, and it's not necessarily a month of brightness. Even though December has winter and snow, it's got that Christmas and everybody. But you know, once you get over December, around the world, and we all use the same calendar, once you get over and you get into the next year, you fall into this deep winter darkness, even though it's not even the darkest days of the year, but they are the darkest days of the year. And of course, all throughout the world, there's all these studies about this being, I've mentioned this before, these great moments of, these periods. This is the time of year when more people commit suicide. More people find permanent solutions to temporary problems during these dark months. Now, of course, there are parts in the world, sections, places, where, you know, there's hardly any light, completely dark. And there's also only whites, very often mostly whites. But if we go back to when Buddy Holly, who was this geeky-looking strange guy who just heard music in his head and started writing songs, and then playing this stuff, and then being ostracized. Is that a good word? Can we use ostracized? I don't even like that word. Being, I want to say, look at this. How about this? I'm back live on Tyne FM across the UK live from Newcastle upon Tyne. I want to say hello and welcome back live. I didn't even know about this. Let me just move over here for a second. We'll get back to that. Hello, TyneFM.com. This is so great that we are live, also back live on time. And you know what? If you're listening to me over there, what are we talking about? 10, 11, 12, hold on, 1, 2, 3. It's like it's 3 in the morning. I mean, there's just so much. There's so much Chronicles on anymore. All different parts of the globe. This is the stuff that couldn't happen. This stuff did not exist in the days of Buddy Holly. So it's hard to even fathom that there's an energy that still exists. A major energy by people might not necessarily be older anymore. In those days, it was very easy to secularize. Is that a good word? Secular. I mean, to divide the people, because it was the young people for the rock and roll, just like before the rock and roll, the beatniks, right? And the adults who were like, bleh, bleh. It's garbage. It's stuff. And you're ruining society, the fiber society. It's anti-religion. Does any of this stuff sound familiar to you? It's anti-religious. It's not moral. It just promotes violence. It promotes sexual behavior. It's crazy. And it's jungle. Always that jungle, you know. And when you associate that jungle beat, you know, you don't think of white collegiate kids in New England. So you know how they take that culture, how they did in those days, and really, really hammer that rock and roll thing. This is great. I mean, this is great. I'm back to the time thing again. I'm glad everybody's here. It makes me feel, I know, even though I'm talking to just you and you and you individually, this is wonderful. And I love it. And I thank you all. I can't thank you enough for accepting me live, or accepting me at all, no less live, because this has been a long journey to even get here to Y2K plus 12. But here we are in February. Let's go back now. Charles Hardin Holly, eventually known as Buddy Holly, starts playing in places around there, Texas, and they don't want music on the radio. When they decide to record it, they want to make it into hillbilly music. They don't want that jungle rock and roll. And Buddy Holly continually says, "This is what I hear. This is what I'm playing. This is what I'm doing." And as he's doing that, He is influencing, here's the neo-postmodern angle from it. He is influencing young people out there who who are now saying, hey, there's somebody else. He is something else. Just like I'm saying, I'm not alone. I hear that beat. I understand that beat. I move to that rhythm. And I pick up an instrument. And, okay, people are going to be playing guitars. People are going to be doing all sorts of stuff. Flourishing. Breaking through the horrible, distasteful standardization of humankind based on dogma, based on this, you know, I don't want to say dogma. I want rules and regulations, standard things. And of course, what guides that? A lot of that is not guided by love and by positive energy. It's guided by hate. Because the people who will stand up and for God and country or anything, right? They're the ones who are telling those kids about the jungle music. There's an anti-culture, not a subculture, it's an anti-culture. It's an anti-establishment. Disentarianism, isn't that a word? Anti-disestablishmentarian. They used to tell me, that's like that's the longest word in the human language, other than in the English language. Anti-disestablishmentarianism. And I don't know what it means, I don't care. And then suddenly, as Buddy Holly breaks through, things go very well for him in the beginning. And why do things start to go well for him? Because he's a great talent? No. Not because of that, okay? But because there's so many people willing to put money out to see him and to buy his records, that suddenly the establishment says, hey, wait a second. We can use this. We're going to simulate this. We can make money off this guy. They have no concept of the genius of the sound in his head and what's going on. The newness, they don't care about anything. These are people who are now going to try to make it mainstream. They're going to ignore that jungle stuff and ignore that. Those people who don't want to hear this stuff because they can make money on it. See, it all came down to that buck. And ultimately, the music industry was happy that it was a white guy. Even them. You know, they screwed Buddy Holly also. If you look at some of the credits of his records, even though he wrote them, you'll see another name on there. Norman Petty. There is no Norman Petty, as far as I know. I believe what they did was they split. They said, yeah, we're going to do your songs or that. We're going to take half of the copyright. In those days, this was very important. This had nothing to do with downloading and stuff. Yeah, we're going to take half of your song away from you. And we're going to take half of the power of the song to pay money to you away from you and make up this fictitious person who is the company. And you're going to pay. So he's not even going to get the breath with a D of his own earnings. He's not going to get them. And the proof of the racism involved in this is Chuck Berry, who was an incredible songwriter. He's still alive, and he had hit after hit after hit on Chess Records and played guitar. And this black man who was they unbelievably screwed this guy out of money. But they knew he could make it, so they used it. Suddenly it was okay. But they were real happy, the music industry, that the white guys were doing the jungle music. Oh, they liked that. See? Because they knew they could market that better. It was a whole different thing. This is almost 100 years after the Civil War. Hello? Right? Right? The jungle music. That's where guys like Pat Boone came along. You know, Pat Boone started doing Little Richard songs. Little Richard, who was black, of course, and he was doing incredible shows and craziness down there and all over the place, singing and screaming and playing the piano. But he couldn't get a hit. And then Pat Boone came along and sang his song in complete washed out white fashion. And it became a hit. So there was all this stuff was going on. Is there a way to do it? And amazing. Doesn't it sound familiar to you in terms of how people look at that even now? Okay. And what happens? Now we go to February 19, 59. It's the beginning of February. It's actually last week, the day after we did our show. To some people across the international dateline, it was February 3rd, that show. It was the day, as it has been known, later on written about in another song called American Pie, the day the music died. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. Because, and this is so eerie, I'll tell you the personal story later about being on site. This happens in Iowa. The Crickets, Buddy Holly and the Crickets had their problems, and the original two guys who were the Crickets left or didn't want to go on these tours. And they used to put together these junkets, these big tours. They were still doing this, by the way, in the 90s. And even they didn't do it now, too. When we had Walter Stewart on this show a couple of years ago, and he was talking about all these groups, who aren't really groups anymore, but they were members of groups, and they travel around, they get work, they still play, and they come together in a package. They used to do that back then too. And, people who had, were on this bill, it was called Clear Lake, Iowa. Was one of the places they just went out, the groups. And here's what: Buddy Holly went out, was on this group, and there was another guy with a big hit, called J.P. Richardson, with a big bopper. He had one big hit, because only going to live long enough to have any more. And then maybe he had two. Okay, but then Dion and the Belmonts, you can look all these names up later on. And Richie Valens, who was depicted in the movie La Bamba, with Lou Diamond Phillips. I'm going to try to, I'm somewhat connected to all this stuff, but I'm going to try to stay away from my personal observations for a while and get into this. Okay, so here's what happened. This winter, what was the name of it? I don't know why this is bothering me so much. The Winter Dance Party. How could you forget that one? Real tough name, Frank. The Winter Dance Party was a three-week tour in the dead of winter. If you'll excuse the expression. In the dead of winter, in 1959, these are all top acts now. And they travel around in a bus. And the bus goes from, there are these ballrooms, there are these giant school auditoriums that serve as places you can have concerts, just like today, the little hockey rinks, and places where groups still show up and play. But the transportation's a little bit more sophisticated. And these buses that were going from town to town, 3 weeks, a lot of shows, maybe a show a night. They have to move on, constantly move, okay? Tons of people, too. Think about it. The whole band, not the original Crickets though. There are different Crickets. Now listen to this. One of the Cricket members, new Crickets, one of the new Crickets during the winter tour, dance party tour, is a man named Waylon Jennings. He's the bass player. Okay, he has replaced, the stand-up bass Cricket guy who was originally, because those two guys, the original drummer, the original Crickets are not there. Now there's two different Crickets. And Buddy Holly wants to go because he wants some money, and he goes to on the set, and he's married, his wife is home pregnant, and he still goes. Even to the behest of her, not wanting him to go. I'll tell you more about her later, because this is a fascinating thing too. And, so he goes, and he's in the bus. Richie Valens is in the bus. Deanna Belmont. All these guys who are like the top rock artists, all white. Even then, I don't think there were any black guys on that tour, going to the Midwest. Anyway, they're all in this bus going from one town to another. If you've ever been in the Midwest during the winter, if you've even watched the weather forecasts, you'll know how incredibly cold it can get. The ice, the snow, the sleet, the blech. And here's this bus in 1959, and these are like old school buses with heaters on the side. These aren't like, you know, sophisticated buses with, like you see now, the way candidates ride around in these big insulated buses and stuff. These are like rickety, tickety R2s. I think they were called R2s back in those days. They made the trains, the subway trains the same way. Big, clumsy, iron-filled, and it's like either too hot or too cold. Well, they had all sorts of problems with the heating systems in these buses, okay? And when they got to the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, on the night of February 9th, 1959... they did all their playing, blah, 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 did all their stuff. Big, big show, big hit, wonderful, wonderful stuff. Everybody's happy. The company's happy. The promoters are happy. Everybody's making money. Buddy Holly's not making as much as he should, of course. And Deanna the Belmonts aren't in there. Okay, so now they're going to get, the show is over. They're going to get in their bus. And they're going to move on. Okay? And somebody has hired a plane, an airplane. What kind of plane, Frank? An airplane, not a seaplane, an airplane. And tells Buddy Holly, says, you know, you could be nice and warm. You can get to the next stop in no time, get into the hotel and beat that bus. You don't have to sit on that bus and freeze because the bus was really cold. And anybody getting on the bus was going to be very cold. It's really bad news on the bus going from Clear Lake to wherever they were headed. And this was not, you know, again, now that this is an airplane, that is an airplane. It's not a jet. It's a prop. Little prop airplane, propellers and stuff. And somebody says, you know, buddy, you can get on that plane. You and the crickets get on the plane. Well, at least I know. And, so he says, I'm getting on the plane. I don't know if the drummer, cricket drummer, I think he was the drummer for everybody that night anyway. So he was just called the crickets, but Waylon Jennings was playing, he's a bass player. He was playing with them too. For some reason, they said, Waylon, do you want to come? And they said, the pilot says, not enough room. It's either Waylon, as far as the story goes, we have to see either Waylon, you go, or Richie Valens goes, because there's no way, Buddy Holly's not going. He's on that plane. He's going. He's Buddy Holly, for gosh sakes. He's going to go in comfort and everything like that. Waylon flips a coin, I believe, with either Richie Valens or someone else, because there's not many people from the show that get a chance to go on there, get on the plane and go earlier. And the Richie Valens documentation says it was Richie Valens. So anyway, Waylon Jennings loses the toss. He loses the toss. And that means he's got to take the bus. Now this is what is reported as transpired. Buddy Holly laughs at Waylon Jennings and says, man, I hope your bus freezes. I hope your bus freezes. Because, you know, this is a locker room. No, guys, you know, this is a lot. He said, I hope your bus freezes, says Buddy, who's now being cocky. And Jennings says something that until his death, wait a second, is Jennings dead? I think he is dead. Okay. If he's not, I apologize. He says, oh yeah, he says to Buddy Holly, I hope your plane crashes. And the tour would never be the same. And Mr. Jennings would be thinking about that for the rest of his life. What happens then? Lots happens then. A lot happens. Everything changes. And we'll be talking about everything changing. And I'll be telling you about some of the people what they had to say and what happened and things you don't ordinarily hear. And you might not unless you look it up on your internet, because I was in that circle with a lot of the people from the next generation. Okay, so this is me again. That was me. This is me. What I have to do is move ahead on this. But you don't want to hear the commercial. I'm going to hear the middle again, because that was the top of the hour of the other show. So let's see where this picks up.
And in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Oh, it's well, we don't want that either. We got to move on here to where can we go? To here?
this was such a tragedy, not just in terms of this incredible talent. Certainly, we don't know what would have happened to Richardson and Richie Valens. They would have went on to do whatever they go on to. Buddy Holly was definitely headed, you know, for the kind of, he was already getting there at such a young age. He was very young. He was getting toward, he was headed towards being an incredible recording talent, writer, producer. There was no way this guy wasn't going to be one of the gigantic giants. The gigantic giants, not the little mini giants. This guy was going to be innovation after innovation after innovation. He was going all the way, this guy. And we mean all the way. There's limitless to what he could have done. Instead, he left at a very young age a legacy that so many people were used and were influenced and processed through themselves as artists to carry on the tradition of that jungle music that nobody wanted to hear. I told you before that his wife, her name, I don't know if she's alive yet either. I'd be doing this stuff without talking about these people. I know people who are dead, and I know people who are alive. I don't know if they're all, you know. This was the end of something. Even though it was 1959, you know, in literary, if you do something literal, when you write drama, you can't write stuff like this. You have to use this kind of stuff. And then you get metaphors and allegories and allophores and metagories. But you create it so that it works into the fiber of a story. But this, history is a very strange thing because it, you know, history and how things happen and what goes on that is not expected, and how it ripples and affects everything else is another deal. And the themes involved. But these three kids dying like that in that plane was devastating. What was her name? I think it's on the other side of the. Is it on the other side? No, it's on the other side. Elena? I forgot her name. I wrote it down here somewhere. His wife. Let's forget about her name. Mrs. Holly. You know, Mrs. Holly didn't want him to go in the first place. And she, you know, so there's Waylon Jennings who was like, oh, you know, he finds out the plane crashed. And boy, is he going to, and there's something about having, you know, you can't take back what you said. You can't take it back. Echoes in your head for the rest of your life during good times, bad times, no matter what happens. Certainly every time you get into a plane. His wife didn't want him to go, Buddy Holly, to go on the tour in the first place. And she said she was very guilty afterwards. And the only thing she said was that, you know, she used to go with him now and then on these tours. She liked to be with him. He liked to have his wife with him. They were a very strong, they had a very strong relationship as a couple. And he was still, you know, Mr. Geeky looking guy. And I think she was either Mexican or some kind of Spanish. And Mexican is some kind of Spanish, but anyway. And she said later on that because she was pregnant and she found out she didn't want to go. And she just the thought of being in the cold and all that stuff. And it was like, buddy, you don't have to go. Look, well, you know, we got money. Things were going well, okay? But he wanted to promote everything he had to do. And he was a performer and he performed. And that's what he did. So he went. Never, you know what? You don't think the worst of the worst, do you? No, he didn't get on that plane. He wouldn't have. But she claims that if she was with him, he'd have never gotten on that plane. Now, you can call this a motherly thing. You can call this a love thing. You can call it worry, neurotic or what have you. But, you know, you think about how different the world would be if she was there with him and said, you're not getting on that plane. And the plane went off. And this guy, Waylon Jennings, who would have been an asterisk as it is. Later on, he turns out to be a giant country music star and a musician all his life. Right? You know, he doesn't go forward. Nothing happens. Everything changes. You'd be different. I'd be different. Come on. You all saw Back to the Future. You understand the whole idea of time, what happens if things happen, how the time continuum and stuff, how things move. You know. She's so guilt-ridden. Buddy Holly's, what's left of Buddy Holly's body is taken back and to Texas. And there's a funeral on this very day that I'm talking about, and this is like exactly that date. And she doesn't go to her husband's funeral. She is, I don't know what happened to her. I don't know. I don't think she wrote anything after that. And I don't know. I don't know a lot about her. I also knew she wasn't there because one of the pallbearers was a guy named Phil Everly. Now, you might remember, if you don't remember him, I'm always talking to a couple of different audiences here, those who know of these artists and those who don't. And I'm always going to emphasize to those who don't, because I want you guys to and gals to learn about this stuff and maybe look into it. Phil Everly, a member of the Everly Brothers, two white guys who were brothers, obviously, who played guitars and sang and did harmonies and had a lot of hits back in those days. They wrote some, didn't write some, but they were, you know. Phil, who I was an acquaintance of Phil later on, way later on. I'm not that old, you know. I knew him. I knew the girl he was raising, who was his niece. He was raising his niece, who was Don, his brother's daughter, Erin. The name was Erin. Yes, it was Erin. Erin Everly. And okay, so Phil was a pallbearer, and he was always. I spent some time with Phil. That's a whole other story. I don't want to get into me, but I mean, I'm just telling you my sources come directly. And he was one of the pallbearers, and he testifies about the wife not being there. And it's a very, very strange, and nobody, you know, everybody's just out. This is not like Elvis dying, okay? Because by the time Elvis dies, you have to remember, he's already a caricature of himself. And Elvis is one, by the way, is one of those white guys that the record companies like, who's doing the black jungle music. They're what they call the jungle music. They don't want the blacks to be, you know, you ain't nothing but a hound dog, which is a gigantic hit for Elvis Presley, is a, what was her name? Mama something. Mama Thornton? Crazy Mama Thornton, or whatever her name is. In the black community, a hit. He took it and made it a hit. White guy, white pretty guy, see? So all this stuff was going on and being manufactured and rock and roll, but there's something so authentic about Buddy Holly. There's something not even more authentic than Elvis. He was just this geeky guy who sat and just felt so out of place. His parents did not want him to do this rock and roll stuff. They were against it. They thought it was immoral. He went against the grain altogether. And I'm not saying that if you go against the grain altogether, you're going to turn out to be, you know, this person, this genius or what have you, because the times, the situations have to conspire in order to make these things happen. There's so much of phenomena is out of your control. Just like it is, what are the odds? Well, the odds are pretty good that plane like that would go down. You know, and that pilot, if anyone could be blamed, it would be that pilot. But the fact that, think of all the things that have to conspire for something like that to happen. But here's Buddy Holly, who is, you know, he's been called, and this is not like because a guy dies. You know, lots of times a guy dies, an artist dies or what have you, and they die early. Like James Dean, let's take, the actor, James Dean. Only made a couple of movies, and he was this actor, and he was this good-looking old guy actor, you know, rebel without a cause, young whatever. And I say, oh, boy, he dies young, and, he dies, and who knows what he would have done. I don't know if James Dean would have been this incredible actor that would have went on to produce and direct and write or whatever, or just act and get Academy Awards. Who knows? Who knows what would have happened to James Dean? James Dean was James Dean. James Dean was not Buddy Holly. Elvis dies later on, well into his career, when it's over for him anyway. He's just moving on Elvis energy and the past. Okay, Elvis Presley was not Buddy Holly. So a lot of people, when they die, they say, like, oh, geez, you know, what would have happened to another? But there is like no doubt in anyone's mind, anyone who knows anything about Buddy Holly, anyone who listens to what he did when nobody else was doing that, anyone else who looks at him and goes, like, look at this guy. How the heck, what the heck was he doing? Anyone who can do that what he did and what he was doing and where the level he had attained by the time that plane crashed. He was already moving at biblical speeds in his artistic development and his influence and his power, because he would have eventually gotten enough money to become the guy who ruled the roost that got him just to use him, you know. So, and of course, like, you know, you got to look at this. You look at this in other ways. So we've talked about this when we did our beatnik shows and our shows about hipsters and beatniks and the way the 50s molded the 60s and how the metamorphosis of this pop culture. If you think about crickets, I said crickets before, the crickets, Buddy Holly and the Crickets are influencing musicians all over the place. And in England, I mean, the kids who were doing scuffle rock and all this little stuff, and some of those guys are guys like John Lennon and Paul McCartney and the, you know, Beatle guys and all the other guys, all those Rolling Stones, all the guys, all those guys, they're all growing up being this. But think about it, crickets. And when the Beatles with B-E-E-T, Beatles, it's called themselves the Beatles because they all call themselves the Crickets. So, well, we'll be Beatles. And then John Lennon says, hey, beat, get it? Beat, B-E-A-T. And he thinks that he's never heard that before. And of course he's heard that because beatniks, B-E-A-T, beatniks came about. And a lot of beatniks, who were they? All the beatniks were Beatles. They were Beatles. Were beatniks with Beatles. They had subdivisional names. They were Beatles. All this stuff comes together in such a fascinating way. And we don't know what would have been different had Buddy Holly lived. There had been no more crickets, and there could have still been Beatles, blah, blah, blah. But so much is different. See? So that's not the way it happened. He didn't live. This is an unbelievable thing that this happened at that time. And as opposed to any other time? No, but there's other. We've heard about plane crashes. Jim Croce died in a plane crash, small plane crash. Ricky Nelson died in a plane crash, another small plane crash. And my good friend Wolfman Jack, who I traveled with a lot, and we did a lot, and this is how I knew a lot of these people connected to the whole pop scene. And there was a time in the 80s, what was it, the early 80s, when they had, let's see, 59, 69, 69, 70, 78 to 89, 59, 69, 69, 79. Maybe it was like the 20-year anniversary, 25th anniversary of the Surf Ballroom show, the Winter Dance Party. And Wolf, I wasn't with him. They wanted him to show up, and he did, at Clear Lake, Iowa, at the Surf Ballroom on the 25th anniversary. That night, just like I'm doing the show on the night of his funeral, Buddy Holly's funeral. And Wolfman Jack was going there. He was hired to come and be in the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, in this Winter Dance Party anniversary. I think it was the 25th anniversary. Must have been. 59, 69, 79, 79, 79, 81, 81, 82, 82, 82, 83. Yeah, about 85. That would make sense. And so he gets there. I'm telling you this from him telling me. I didn't go to that particular gig, as we call them. That particular trip, I wasn't with him on that trip. I thought it was kind of weird. Well, he didn't think it was kind of weird, but when he got there, he described this as being like really strange, because he was there on the site, same site, and here's what happened. It was on that night, February 3rd, it was a cold night in Clear Lake, Iowa, and it was freezing. There was that kind of snow. It wasn't a blizzard. It wasn't, you know, it was just like cold, and that remnants of snowfall and the ice and everything that was going on out there in Iowa, as rugged and as rural as that kind of territory can be during the winter. And then after the show, They tell him that he goes, you know, where are we going? You know, the hotel? And they said, no, we're going right to the next, town. Because we're gonna take the, we're gonna go, you gotta get to another one of your shows, and you've got, and the only way to get out of Clear Lake tonight is by plane. I mean, in order for you to get to where you're going, because you've been booked in this other spot. And he was like, oh, okay. And he left after the show. Everybody was leaving, pack whatever, they're going, various places, stuff like that. And the plane was out in the, what's that called, the tarmac? Or, you know, out on the strip or out there. It was out there. They drove him to this place where the plane was, this airstrip. And it's coming back to him what happened. He's like, he said, and you know, you can't help but be spooked, you know, at something like this, because you're at this anniversary thing and you're on your way to take a plane. You've just, did a show where people recreated, they were, you know, Buddy Holly, doing old Buddy Holly songs, and they were Buddy Holly guys and doing things, you know, and you're on your way to take a plane. Even though it's 25 years later, the planes are better. I mean, everything's better, you know. And the actual odds of this happening and another celebrity on the same night 25 years later, these are astronomical odds that this is going to happen again, right? But he is so freaked out. I don't know how else to tell you. He's nervous. He was nervous as it did with small planes. He didn't like small planes, primarily because a lot of artists and celebrities didn't like small planes, because most of the planes that crashed and had celebrities in them were smaller planes. And I've been on some really, really small planes. Jets. I've been on these jets. Really small jets. You could feel every movement. It always feels like you're going into a tailspin in a small jet. I think in a small jet, six people, that's small, you know. And traveling with the Wolfman, it was always... He was always so freaked out. But this particular night, he was leaving, getting on a plane 25 years after the day the music died. And it's just, I don't know. I'm surprised he didn't have his heart attacks then. And he, for all we know, he had a number of series of little heart attacks that time. Really, really terrible. And he told that story over and over again, because it was so weird. And so, and of course he lived. I mean, the plane didn't crash. And so, and then to talk to people like Phil Everly, who were actually part of that entire generation, is to understand the how these guys and gals, okay, were being manipulated, but they were making money. And they were doing this stuff, and they didn't even realize they were contributing to pop culture the way they were contributing. They were doing this stuff. And that's the way it worked. And then some things have never changed. There's in lots of ways that's the way, we talked about from the beginning here when I was talking about radio and the show and everything. Anyway, drones, I don't know. We left, we went here, and there's that. And it's all still true. And I hope you enjoyed it. Because I couldn't have done it again. Like, that's it. There's all the stuff I know. I know it then, and I know it now. My name is Frank Attolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Stay warm, the winter, if you're listening live. Or if you're not listening live, then it's a document of what happened. It's a cold, cold, cold winter. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you're located. Until next time, whenever next time is going to be, I'll be there. You know everything you need to know now. Me? I have nothing more to say.